Hi, I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we also like to prioritize our self-care.
Self-care
for yourself. All right, Danae, what did you do this week for self-care?
This week, yesterday, I fell asleep on the couch watching TV at like 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then I woke up at, like, 10 o'clock and then, like, washed my face, brushed my teeth, and went straight to bed.
I love getting, getting so much sleep.
It felt so good because, like, I've been sick for basically 2 weeks and, like, coughing all night and not getting good sleep.
Yeah.
So it was nice because I felt like I finally, like, had a solid, like, 12 hours of uninterrupted sleep.
You need that.
Yeah.
You need that so much.
It felt so good.
Oh my god, yeah. I love that.
What did you do?
Well, it was Valentine's Day, so I had machete tacos.
Nice.
That was Keith's idea. That was the best idea ever. That's my favorite place.
Look at beef.
I know. He was like, right when he started driving, I was like, do I know where we're going? He's like, maybe. And I was like, are you taking me a machete? And he's like, oh my god. Because I figured it out right away. Just, yeah. I don't know, there was just something. And we haven't had it in a while. And oh my god, I love that place.
Yeah, it's like your fave.
I know. We took you guys there and you guys were like, I mean, it's good. And I'm like, shut up. It's
the best.
It's the best. Get out of my face.
Yeah.
And then we went to Dry Dock and we went during an open mic night.
Ooh, fun. Was the person good? People good? No?
I chugged my beer and we left.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because they sucked?
Yeah. I mean, okay, I respect when people put themselves out there because it is not easy.
Yeah.
It is absolutely not easy. But a lot of the people, I feel like a lot of people are, like, drunk. Because, like, there was a guy with his guitar and he was incredible.
Okay.
And you could tell he, like, wrote his own music.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say, like, the gender of the person who went on after him, but they should not have gone after him.
Oh, because they sucked.
Yes.
We and it went was to... just,
we, Keith's like, can you please chug your beer and we'll go. And we, like, went out the back door.
Oh, shit.
Like, we paid for our beer. Like, well, that yeah, makes us yeah. sound like we snuck out. No, we, like, we closed the tab and then, like, I didn't even finish my sour. That's...
Oh.
Like, I had a sip left, but acid, because tacos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we went to the Roxy on Broadway. And there was an artist there named Brett Randell. And he's amazing. And I was like, we got there, and I was like, I swear I recognize this man. Like, why do I know
him?
The
name sounds kind of
familiar.
Like,
does he go to yoga? Like, what is it? And I sent my friend Michelle one of his songs that I really liked. And she was like, that guy did live music yoga for me. And I was like, that's where I know him.
Okay. Well, it's cool you picked out, like, yoga, because that's awesome.
I was like, I couldn't quite place it. But he was really, really good.
Yeah, amazing some people, like, drives you crazy. You're like, where do I know you
yeah.
from?
Yeah. And he did, like, some really nice covers. But then he had his own original music, too, which was really, really good.
I love that.
I'll send you. He's on Spotify.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's really good.
I like a good cover, too. So you can kind of get used to, like, the music. I wish I knew the guy that, like, performed at Dry Dock. He was really good. And
I always, like, look him up when they say their name. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna remember you.
So it was kind of like we listened to, like, a song and a half.
Okay.
Because it was kind of more or less, like, we were driving home, and I was like, you should stop there, and we'll, like, go get a drink, because we were having a fun night. So it's like, why not stop? So
totally.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, that's fun.
Yeah. So what are you gonna tell me about this week? It was such a good night.
This week I am going to tell you about the murder of Jim Arthur.
I don't know this one.
So Earlier this week, I found this amazing documentary, or like series rather, on Hulu.
What's it called?
It's called The Playboy Murders.
Oh, okay, okay.
Have you seen it?
I need to. It's so good. I'll watch it after this.
Because there's like Playboy playmates that have been murdered. And then there's also kind of, like, Playboy adjacent.
Other than the Super Bowl, we haven't really been watching TV because, like, we've been, like, working on the house.
Yeah.
That house, no, this I is swear, a good one. Is taking this up all our time.
A real good one. So, my sources are the Playboy Murders on Hulu. I believe it was episode 2. And then also an article called... The Playboy Murders, Who Killed Stacey Arthur's Husband, James. So, October 29th, 1991. 34-year-old Jim Arthur was shot dead in broad daylight on a street in Bellefontaine, Ohio. Crazy.
Okay, Bellefontaine, and maybe you don't know, Ohio. Is this closer to Columbus, or is this closer to Cincinnati or Cleveland?
I have no idea.
Okay. One of the big C's, if you will.
It's Ohio.
Yeah.
So, here's the story. Jim met his wife, Stacy, in 1983. She managed the craft store that operated underneath his tanning salon. So, okay. They would see each other whenever. Cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little flirty flirts. And Jim was a little bit older than Stacy. He was 34 at the time. Stacy was 19. So, age difference.
Okay. I can't say anything yet because I don't know if it was toxic or not. So.
No. So, they hit it off. They fell in love. Stacy had a daughter from a previous marriage. And Jim also had 3 other kids from a different marriage. So they merged families and got married in June of 1988.
Good year. Good year. Mark's birth year.
Okay. I was like, you were in 89.
But you're okay. Like, I know I don't know about you.
Who was born in 88. So in the documentary, Jim's daughter, Danielle, talks about how much she loves Stacy. She was around 5 when she met her, and she just... immediately love Stacy.
I love that story, right? When it's like the other kids, like, that they have no loyalty to that parent. Yeah, they love, like, them.
It was really a good relationship that they had. And because she was so young, you know, she really didn't have any trouble calling Stacy her mom.
Yeah.
So it was really, like, sweet.
That's good.
Listening to her talk about Stacy.
Well, like, I'm just glad she had a good relationship, too. Yeah. Because nothing's worse when they're like, oh, yeah, they moved in and, like...
And shit hit the fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, it wasn't like that. And I'm not sure about the other 2 kids. They weren't in the documentary.
Okay, I was going to ask.
And there wasn't really much else detailed on
but
them.
But maybe
so
she was standing
sure.
up for them, like, kind of saying how they felt, too.
Right, and I'm not really sure if they were, like, older or, like, I don't really know.
Yeah.
But basically, Danielle and Stacy's daughter got along really well as well. And
that's good, too. That's where it gets iffy, too, if the kids don't get along.
Right. So it was, like, a really nice family situation where they merged and things were kind of seamless and everyone was happy.
Yeah.
A year after Stacy and Jim got married, Stacy adopted Danielle Aww. As her own daughter. She's like, so sweet.
So her birth mom, like, wasn't really in the picture?
I guess not. Okay. Like, they didn't really say, like, what her deal was.
Or, that's like, why I was like, the whole mom thing. I'm like, was that like...
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
But it was really sweet. After they get married, Stacy starts entering into beauty pageants. And, I mean, she's a beautiful, beautiful woman.
Sure, yeah.
Like, she's just, you can tell she's, like, a good person inside and out kind of
Well,
thing.
If her stepdaughter loved her and, like, the families got along, I mean.
Yeah.
That says a lot about a person's
She was a
character.
Gem.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she starts entering into the beauty pageants. She starts doing really well. And she actually won Miss Ohio in June of 1990. So, like, things start going
pretty
quickly.
Was her hair massive, I bet?
Yeah, it was very, like, big and teased and, like, you know, the bangs that go, like, down. But
the higher the hair, the closer to God.
Exactly. So she's, like, loving life. And then she was also kind of like kickstarting her modeling career. So, okay. I mean, pageantry and modeling, it kind of goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
So she starts getting really good at the pageants. She even, as she's doing pageants and modeling gigs, during one modeling gig, her and Jim were in Chicago, and they actually stopped by the Playboy headquarters.
Okay.
And then in December of 1990, Stacy goes to the USSR, which is like Russia now, where she competes in the Mrs. America pageant.
Which, in Russia?
Yeah, I don't know why it's in Russia, but whatever.
That's confusing.
Like, why is it a Mrs. America but in Russia? Whatever.
I mean,
confusion.
No bias?
I have no idea.
I am confusion.
Whatever. So she places in the top 10 of that pageant. And pretty soon after, it's announced that she would be the Playmate of the Month for January of 1991. Okay. Which is like a huge deal.
For Playboy?
Yeah.
Okay, here's my question. Because I know, like, Miss America is like a scholarship opportunity and then Playboy. So at this point, was that also a big no-no? Because I know now it's like, absolutely not.
So
you pick one or the other, you know.
Yeah. In this case, for her, Playboy was kind of like a launch pad to get into bigger things.
Okay.
But in other cases that I watched, Playboy has this connotation of, you know, it's sexy. It's like you're posing nude.
Yeah, exactly.
So it could potentially...
Not that I have an issue with it. I just know, like...
Fuck. You can put that on your, like... I don't know, I guess your modeling sort of, like, resume of, like, I've been in Playboy. Like, that's huge.
Yeah, it's...
And it was also huge because she made history. Like, she was the first ever pageant queen to be in Playboy.
Okay, that's where, like, I'm like, wait a minute.
And to be a centerfold.
That's awesome.
So, like, that's kind of, like, part of being the Playmate of the Month is that you get the centerfold.
Whenever I hear that, I, like, think of House Bunny. She's like, I already have my turn-ons already and stuff like that.
Right. So, yeah, it's a big deal. Like, she's doing well, and she's doing well in, like, a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
So, like, they got married in, what was it, 88. She adopted Danielle, 89. 90, she wins her first Miss Ohio in June. And then
so she's, like, 21, 22
December,
at that time.
Yeah, she wins Mrs. Or not wins, but is in the top 10. And then in 91, she's Playmate of the Month. So, her main dream, on top of, like, being a model and doing her pageantry, was to become a country music star.
Oh, wow.
And Playboy had, like, connections. So they were fully like, yeah, let's do it. Let's make you a country music star.
Sure. Yeah, why not?
And Jim was super supportive. Like, he was, like, the best husband. Like, he...
I hate this because it sounds great and I know shit's gonna, like, go down.
Yeah, but it's not because of them. Like, Jim is very supportive. He wants his wife to follow her dreams. He actually acts as her agent. And he's the one, you know, booking all the modeling gigs, setting everything up, organizing where she's gonna go and what time and all that stuff.
That's just not common anymore. So many guys are like, I don't want them looking at my wife, you know?
Right.
And he's like, she's doing what she loves, so.
And they commented on that in the documentary because Holly Madison, you know, talks a lot in the series of the Playboy murders. And she's just like, you know.
I love her.
I love her so much.
So much.
But it's like, some people can handle being a partner of a Playboy bunny, and some people can't.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, there's a lot of jealousy that plays into it. There's a lot of...
I think most people would say, I'm okay with it. But then, like, once
then they
it's
wouldn't
like,
be.
You know, you sink or swim.
Yeah. But Jim was fully there for it. He was like, hell yeah, like, you do you. Like, I want you to succeed. I want to help get you there. I will support you.
What can I do?
Exactly. And he was, like, such an amazing husband. So
I love that.
Stacy lived in the mansion for a little bit. And there was one girl. Oh, I forget her name. I should have wrote it down. But her roommate, basically, at the mansion had met Jim. And she had nothing but good things to say about him. She was like,
okay, so it's not, like, this fake act. I'm like, when's the shoe gonna drop?
No, he's so sweet and, like, such a lovely person and just wants to make sure.
That'd be hard if she lived at the house, too. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I feel like I would have a problem with that, but...
But basically, like, he just wanted to make sure she was safe. He wanted to make sure she was supported and help her become a country music star.
And this was in Chicago?
The Playboy Mansion is in L.A.
I know it is now, but I was wondering if at that time...
The headquarters that they visited before she became Playmate of the Month was the headquarters in Chicago. So,
but she's living in L.A.?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. I just wanted to
clarify
that.
For a short amount of time. They didn't really say, like, how long she really lived there. But I'm not really sure. As Stacey is living in the mansion, she is trying her best to become Playmate of the Year.
Okay.
Because if she can become Playmate of the Year, she gains more fame.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, more connections will come to her. So money. She's really, money. This is her goal. And around this time is when Playboy starts this new campaign where in the magazine, next to like a little about me section of each of the Playmates, like it's kind of like this cutesy, like handwritten
baseball card.
Kind of, but it's like, ooh, what's your favorite color? And then the girls fill out the form. They write it in their own handwriting, and then it's like published in the magazine.
Oh, yeah.
Next to their photo. And then next to that is this 900 number where fans can call in
and vote.
They can vote for which Playmate is their favorite.
Okay.
And that helps you to then ascend to become Playmate of the Year if you have, like, the most, like, fan votes.
Yeah.
Like, that plays a part in it.
Kind of like American Idol used to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then also, you could actually talk to the Playmates. So you, if you were a fan, you would pay $3 a minute to be able to... literally have conversations with whichever Playmate you wanted. Like, you call in, the operator'd be like, who do you want to connect to? You'd be like, Stacey Arthur. Then they would connect you to Stacey. You could have conversations with your favorite Playmate.
I'm gonna look her up.
And if you didn't actually, like, reach them, you could leave them messages.
Okay, I was about to say, because you can't tell me they're just, like, sitting around waiting.
No. So you could also, like, leave them... little voice messages. So, just to be clear, this was not phone sex.
I was gonna ask, too.
No. Basically, it was supposed to be light, fun conversations that were supposed to be, like, kind of short and quick. You know, like, oh, you got to talk to your favorite Playmate? Hang up. Yeah, look at that big hair. She looks beautiful, though.
So beautiful. Her eyes.
Right? And... pretty much, like, the ladies were simply told to just be careful while conversing with the men.
Well, fans can be crazy.
Yeah, but,
hi,
like...
hi, Christina Grimmie.
Yeah, well, so Playboy didn't really give the ladies any other guidelines other than to just be careful.
But what does that entail?
Exactly.
Everyone can say be careful, but...
but, like, they didn't have any guidelines to go off of. Like, don't say, like, you know, super personal details about yourself. Don't say, like, what fucking street you
live
on.
But you can't tell me people are calling and being like, how are you? I hope you're having a fabulous day. You know, guys are like, rub my cock and, like...
right. And so then, basically, it was just, like, be careful. They didn't really tell them any, like, real safety guidelines. And it was just, like, if things get weird... because the operator is listening, they can cut the call off. So if it gets, okay, like...
super sexual.
Obscene or inappropriate, then they can cut the call.
Okay, good.
But, like, I don't know. In a situation like that, you don't want to be giving out personal details.
No, definitely not.
Like, you want to protect yourself. You don't want to, like, say, oh, I go to this McDonald's on... this corner, like, not that they go to McDonald's, but you know what I
mean. Just an example, yeah.
Like, you don't want to sort of give them an idea of, like, your usual places that you would be at, or, like, anywhere that could kind of triangulate your
location.
People
will, like, follow you
people,
if they can.
100%. So, hindsight is 20/20. There should have been better safety measurements put into place.
If you're expecting the women to talk to people, you need to, like... you need to have, like, bodyguards for them.
Well, and just, like, I don't know. I feel like there should be more rules of, like, don't say this, don't say that. Like, you don't want to... I don't know. There's a lot of weirdos out there.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
But Stacy is a go-getter, and she's like, bitch, I'm going to make Playmate of the Year. So like, she takes these phone calls seriously.
Yeah.
Like, she is always ready to go. She's ready to take the calls. Also, just another side note, the ladies got paid, like, $50 an hour, which is, like, pretty good for, like, the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I would do that.
I would like to be paid $50
an hour? Hell yeah. So she's making good money while she's doing it, and she's also trying to gain fans for being Playmate of the Year.
Yeah. She's gotta do what you gotta do.
She's got her goal in mind. She's ready to, like, achieve it. So yeah, basically fans can get to know you, vote for you. That's her goal. Enter into this scenario. 32-year-old James Lindberg. Dude was a trucker, but he was out of work at the time.
32-year-olds are the worst.
Or he was kind of like in and out of work, but he was a trucker. So he kind of led like a little bit of a lonely lifestyle. Like, he didn't really get to hang out with people a lot because he's always on the road.
Yeah, so Playboy was his friend, his consistent friend.
Yeah. So other playmates in the documentary commented that he was kind of a weirdo, that he had no sense of humor, and it was like awkward to converse with him because it was like, it wasn't light and fun. It was kind of like, why are you like taking everything so seriously? Yeah. But he took a liking to Stacy because she was really kind to him, and she kind of befriended him. So dude quickly becomes the top caller of the 900 number.
I hate that everyone knows who he is, because you know, like, weird shit.
They're
is
like,
happening.
This they fucking guy's calling again.
Yeah.
He spent $15,000 talking to Stacy.
$15,000.
It was a short amount of time because they put the 900 number in place, and then he was the sole reason that Playboy had to put a time limit.
That's 5,000 minutes.
That's a lot of fucking minutes.
That's 5,000 minutes.
Like, it's supposed to be, like, a quick little,
like,
hey,
I'm
how
a
you
fan.
Doing?
Thank you so much for, like, being beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm looking how many hours that is.
Dude, he's, like, he's spending so much money on this. And then Playboy is, like,
83 hours.
Yeah. Playboy's, like, we can't just, like, have you calling in for, like, 3 hours at a time. So they put a time limit.
Yeah.
Doesn't really stop him because he still calls and he's still paying. So, like,
what are you talking about for 3 hours? To somebody you don't know. Like,
yeah.
Anyone, like, you and me could talk for 3 hours, but, like,
but yeah.
Not some random guy
who doesn't have a sense of humor.
Yeah, that's creepy. He'd call for 3 hours. That's like $600.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. So,
all right.
James was also a little sneaky. And that he would read the About Me section, he would ask her further details. So he would kind of be like, oh, I see that, like, you grew up here. Tell me more about that. Or, like, you know, like, he would kind of
test it.
He would just use the About Me facts as a way to get more information from her. And Stacy, not really thinking there's anything, like, weird about it, she's just like, yeah, like, you know, let's keep the conversation going, like, let's make that money.
Yeah, I mean, as anyone would.
Yeah, so she's not even thinking twice about sort of having a conversation with him, and then she's divulging all these little details about her life. So she has told James about her husband Jim, she's told him about her family, her kids, like,
ooh.
Yeah. And he knows all these details, and he, like, because of knowing these personal, intimate details about her life, you know, in his mind, they're good friends.
But I bet
she's just
thought of him as
she's
a
doing,
friend.
She thought of him as a fan, and I guess somewhat,
I mean,
as a friend. Because
I wouldn't say anything.
A line
about,
has
like,
been crossed.
My kids or like my
yeah.
husband.
No, absolutely.
Just some
not.
Random guy who like thinks you're hot. You
no,
know?
Right. But James starts to record their phone calls so that he can listen to them again later. And God. He can then pick out more details. And he's also like, it's getting creepy, right?
I mean,
it's been creepy. The whole
3-hour thing is creepy, yeah. So.
But Stacey has no clue that he's recording calls. She's just like, he's my biggest fan. Like, yay, I'm going to. Her mind is set on the goal of being Playmate of the Year. And he's kind of helping her get there. And also, he's $50 an hour. That's a lot of money.
I'll sit there and, like, fake laugh at jokes.
Exactly. Not that he's had any jokes, because he has no
sense of humor. No, he doesn't.
But anyways, there comes a point in September of 1991 where James just completely stops calling. And Stacey gets worried because he's, like, such a regular caller that she's like, I hope, you know, I hope he's okay.
Yeah, I hope nothing happens.
Like, this is super unlike him. We've been talking so much, and now he's just, like, ghosted me, essentially. So Stacey proceeds to look up his phone number and calls him.
That's really nice,
I guess. And she makes sure that he's okay. Like, she's, I feel like she's such a sweet person, and it feels,
that's what I'm saying, like,
it just feels very naive.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't, I'd be like, oh, okay.
Right. So she reaches out, makes sure he's okay. This gesture solidifies the idea to James that they are truly friends. Like, I mean, it makes sense. Friends would do that.
I mean, yeah. Right? I can kind of, like, see where he comes from. Like, I can
see how that makes sense to him. And then when Stacey tells him that she's coming to California, I guess at this point she was at home. I'm not really sure, like, how this worked. Like, if she had a little phone set up in her home or, like, I don't know. But apparently Stacey tells him, at this point she was back in Ohio, she tells him she's coming to California to do a visit to the mansion. And James proposes.
He shouldn't have done that.
He proposes that they meet up. And she's like, sure, yeah, that's fine. But because she's so busy with, like, all the things that she has to do and, like, work and modeling and doing all these things, she just ends up being too busy and they don't meet up.
Okay.
So this is when shit.
I'm, like, levels. Stressed out because I'm like, what's going
to
happen?
Yeah, because it's all coming to a point.
Yeah.
So James is hurt that they didn't get to meet up. And now he starts telling Stacey that he's in love with her. He starts leaving her messages and he calls over and over. And it gets to
but
a point.
But he didn't for a while, so that's confusing.
Right.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. He's on one. Stacey's obviously, like, happily married to Jim. She's in love. Like, they're kind of moving up in the world. Like, Jim is helping her to achieve her goals. And she's like, whoa, 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 pump the brakes, James. Like, I care about you, like, as a fan. But this has gone a little bit too far. Like, I think we should take a break from talking. And I think, and she was like,
you're gaining feelings that I cannot reciprocate. Yeah.
And he is...
Remember last week's episode? A lot of people that don't get unrequited love. Men. Yeah.
But she's, like, really kind and gentle. And she's, like, kind of letting him down easy. Like, you're such a great person. You're such a wonderful fan. But, like, you know, we need to take a break. And we need to... Like, she's being overly nice about it. Because she doesn't want him to, like, get mad and then stop calling. And she doesn't want to hurt his feelings.
Yeah.
Like, she does care about
him. I'm, like, probably number one, she doesn't want to hurt the feelings. Cause, like...
Right. But it's, like, I think Holly Madison had mentioned at one point where it was just, like, it's, like, that thing of, like, women are taught to be soft. We're taught to be kind. And we're taught to, like, we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings.
Be polite at our own dismay and discomfort.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, at this, like, he's being a fucking weirdo. He's crossing some lines and it's just like, dude, like, you need to chill. But, whatever. So she lets him down easy. James gets very upset and he basically doubles down. And he quits his job.
Oh,
like,
God.
Immediately. Boards a train to Ohio.
Yep.
And goes to Stacy's hometown to see if he can find her. And he can profess his love to her in person. Because she's clearly not getting it over the phone. Stacy has no idea that he's done this.
Yeah.
She's thinking like, oh, I let him down easy. It was a nice conversation. Like, we're going to take a break. We're good.
Oh, God.
Meanwhile, he's quitting his job and like crossing the country to come see her. So he arrives in Bellefontaine, Ohio. He checks into a motel and he's staying there for a few days, just sort of like getting the lay of the land. And then he goes out to buy some gifts for Stacy. Like, he wants to give her balloons and flowers and shit when he tells her he loves her. So he goes to a little gift store, and then he
just... Fun fact, if somebody tells you they're not interested...
Like, leave.
Just believe them. Believe them.
Yeah. She's married with a family.
Yeah. There's so much of this. There's just... I'm like... Gross. I feel like I know where this is going, but...
Yeah. Yeah. So as James is looking for Stacy, because he's just like, I'm just gonna walk around the town until I find her, or like, whatever...
I like to go to small towns and walk around until I find someone.
The 90s.
Yeah. Hashtag 90s.
So he's looking for her. He's got his gifts in hand. And he runs into Jim, Stacy's husband.
Does Jim know who he is?
Mm-hmm.
Do they know what he looks like, too?
I'm not sure if they know what he looks like.
Okay, because I know that's, like, a weird question. Because, like, now you would. Because you'd probably, like...
Because in the 90s, though. But, like, but if they're just talking, I'm not really sure.
And does he know what Jim looks like?
I don't think so. Or I don't know. I have no idea.
I just asked because I'm like, how did they know they ran into each other?
They somehow know who each other, like, who the person is, whatever. So James asked Jim, I wonder if he was maybe outside of Jim's, like, tanning salon or something.
Oh. You know? Okay, that would make sense then.
Yeah. So James asked Jim, where is Stacy? And Jim, being the protective husband, is like, sir, what the fuck are you doing here? Like, back up. You know, like, why are you here?
Yeah.
And basically, they have this pretty tense conversation where Jim tells James to fuck all the way off and leave Stacy alone. Apparently, because it was so tense, you know, James goes and leaves. Jim comes back into his tanning salon and he tells his employees to keep a lookout for this crazy dude. Like, if he's loitering around, if you see him,
call the police.
If he comes in here, let me know and we'll take care of it. So no one really sees him the rest of the day. But as the day is sort of, I don't know, it's been a couple hours, whatever. Jim is headed out to his car to get some tanning, like, bed bulbs.
Yeah, the stuff.
From his car. And James, obviously, has been lurking around. Sees Jim. And decides that he's just gonna open fire in broad daylight. Because he brought his gun with him.
Oh my God, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Jim was shot multiple times to the head, the chest, and the back. And he basically dies, like, almost immediately from his injuries.
I mean, I'm glad he didn't suffer, but, like, oh my God.
Like, in a second, it's all over.
Oh.
And as people start to come out onto the street because they hear all these gunshots and it's broad daylight, like...
In a small town?
Yeah. They see James, and they're kind of like, I don't what just happened? People are confused. James runs to his car and shoots himself. So he had a rental car because, you know, he took the train and then he rented
the car.
Sure,
yeah.
But he ends up shooting himself. Police are notified that this is Jim Arthur. They tell Stacy the news. And she is heartbroken and completely devastated.
I mean, yeah.
And I can't imagine, like, she probably feels a lot of guilt.
Oh, yeah. And she doesn't need to, but, like...
But, yeah.
I feel like anyone would.
Totally.
Unfortunately. Oh, my God. That's awful.
I know, right?
That's so awful.
Yeah, it was, like, really sad in the documentary. Danielle was talking about, like, the moment that she realized her father had been murdered. Like, Stacey was telling her, and it was just, like, I was, like, crying because it was so sad.
I do love that Danielle, like, didn't blame her for it. Because kids, yeah. Not that anyone was to blame, but you know how kids can be.
Yeah, totally. But Stacey ends up filing a $70 million lawsuit against Playboy, claiming that the magazine's inactions led to her husband's murder. So basically, like, they didn't really give any safety precautions. They're trying to make money. She's trying to be Playmate of the Year. But there was really no, like, okay, you know, we're opening you up to, like, a whole bunch of people that you're going to have real-life conversations with. You need to protect yourself and protect your information.
Exactly.
Like, they didn't tell the ladies that at
all.
And,
like, unfortunately, she was really naive. And, like, yeah. She probably thought of him as a friend. And, like,
mm-hmm.
You know, when somebody thinks you're a friend,
there's a trust.
Yeah, they're not going to hurt you. They're your friend.
Yeah, so she files this lawsuit. On top of that, she also was claiming that she'd been sexually assaulted by two bodyguards and a butler while living at the mansion. And I'm sure this happens more often than they talk about. Just being, like, sexually assaulted when you're a woman in that kind of position where it's, like, you're supposed to be sexy. You're supposed to be, like... It's kind of the same thing of, like, people being like, well, what did you wear? Were you asking for it kind of thing?
Well, this was the time, like, when people said shit like that.
Yeah. But the lawsuit was ultimately dismissed because the employees, 3-1, said that the sex was consensual. And the only consequence that they faced was that they got fired from the mansion because you're not supposed to engage in sexual activity while you're working. I was like, this is why people, like, I don't know.
Oh, that's awful.
Like, just don't believe what a woman says, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's so messed up.
She's hysterical.
3 men against 1 woman, they all said that it was consensual, like, and we're just gonna dismiss this case completely. And we're not even gonna, like, acknowledge the fact that Playboy didn't take any kind of action to protect the women.
No.
Or any sort of safety precautions at all with this 900 number. Like, it just, from the start, it seems like a bad idea, right? Like, as soon
as
they...
None of this sounded like a good idea to me.
As soon as they said it, I was like, that sounds like...
That's stupid.
I mean, I know I'm watching, like, a documentary about, like, how some shit went down, but, like, that sounds like a bad idea.
Well, opening yourself up to the public, like, unfortunately...
Yeah. People are crazy. People, you never know what people are going to do. She never refiled that lawsuit. And after all of this craziness, Stacey Arthur lived the rest of her life very privately. She was completely out of the limelight.
Did they interview her for this?
No. Unfortunately, she passed away in 2019. But she was very much, like, kept to herself. She kind of...
I don't blame her.
I mean, Playboy was kind of like, we're dropping you. You know, like, there was no more modeling after that. There was no more...
I don't think she even wanted to
be associated with Playboy anymore after something so tragic happened and
just
so unpredictable.
Her husband.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes me so sad.
Yeah, so that's the story of... the murder of Jim Arthur.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. So, if you have any stories to tell us, then hit us up on Instagram or on our Gmail at mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com.
You can, like, tell us self-care tips, any stories you have, or any stories you want to hear.
Yeah,
because right now we're just kind of, like, picking stuff that we find, but
yeah.
If there's something that you want to hear, we'd love to look into that.
Yeah, so let us know, and we'll tell you more stories next week.
All right. Take care of yourselves, everybody.
Hashtag self-care yourself.
Yes. All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye.